This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Wouldn't you like to take a vacation from your bills? Well, you can. With credit card balances at an all-time high and Golden Oak's 5.25% rate, you could be saving thousands of dollars after a simple phone call. Call today and get your cash in as little as 14 days and make no payments for 2 months. Visit GoldenOakLending.com to speak to someone today.
Golden Oak Lending cured my blues.
6.19 APR, FHA, 15-year, 20% equity qualified credit. Additional terms apply. NMLS 114937.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Right now we bring to you, keep all of the amazing guests coming. There's a lot of pressure on this one because you have to follow up an all-time great.
Yeah, that seems a little unfair, but whatever.
We didn't even know.
Okay. I mean, if you get Billie Jean, you're taking Billie
Jean. Yes, absolutely.
And that's just bad luck for me, so I'll do my best.
All right, so we bring to you, in case you don't recognize the voice, you should, from the NFL Network, football's resident data scientist, it is Cynthia Freeland. How are you?
That was a really good intro.
Okay, thank you.
You know, that probably the first time I've heard it like that, so I'll send you some money later.
Okay, great.
You know, some royalty money.
Yes.
I'm going to use that one again.
Please do. Please do. Now, I have to ask this just to kind of maybe break the ice real quick. Are the Detroit Lions and their fans ever going to have nice things?
No.
It's just
we're not.
Impossible.
No, the best thing, so, but the draft there, I'm from East Lansing, Michigan, where Michigan State is, and I grew up a Lions fan, and the best thing to come out of that Lions past year, I mean, it was a great year, let's be clear.
Goff was fifth for MVP, I believe.
Great. But I rescued a dog from the Detroit draft. So this year, you know, that we did have something lasting.
Okay.
So I do have one nice thing from.
Did you give
it a mutt or is it a breed?
Well, I thought he was a mutt, but Turns out I did his DNA and he's a full husky. So
okay.
I mean, he's crazy, but he's 100% husky.
Okay.
Did he get like a fun football-y name or
his brother's name is Gordy after Gordie Howe.
Okay.
He's a rescue too, another rescue husky, but I let my fiance name him because I kind of just brought the dog home without asking my fiance, so my fiance went with Clyde.
So that worked with me too. We already had a dog.
Yep.
My wife wanted another dog.
Yep.
And she said, you can name it whatever you want.
That's right.
This dog's name is Boba Fetch.
I love it.
And so that was the deal that we
perfect.
Made.
This is
Corey's got a
dog that I found out this morning, thanks to the Dallas Animal Shelter, that has been named Majors, which is my name. And I sent that to my wife, and she said, can I has him? And so I was like, we already has a dog. And she said, but we needs two. And I said, all right.
I will say, two is, they're better. They play with each other. They have, like,
that is
mine
true.
Are, like, best friends.
Yeah.
They don't like being apart even for 15 minutes.
That's
so
amazing.
Yeah.
See, ours are best friends and also worst enemies.
But that's part of being a best friend.
It feels very brother, sister,
yeah.
Like.
Yeah.
I enjoy getting a second dog. My son, who's now 15, says he's going to pick up all the extra poop. And obviously that lasted
can he
one
come
week.
To my house? Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I bet he does not.
No. So that's my job again.
Kids.
Yeah. A 16-year-old's always like, hold on, $25 now. And I'm
right.
like, no,
right.
That's not what we're dealing with here. Now, yesterday we had a situation happen because I got done talking with Jane.
Yep.
And she said, Cynthia is my best friend.
Oh, I love Jane.
And I was like, that's amazing. Well, when I told Mike this, yeah. Mike goes, Diana Russini was sitting right next to us.
Oh, yeah. We're starting to fight.
Yeah, Mike goes, but I thought Diana Russini was her best friend.
Yeah.
So I caught up with Diana. And
love it.
This is a little audio I have to play for you from Diana Russini yesterday. Okay, so what is it like knowing that Cynthia Freeland is now Jane Slater's best friend?
Well, as the original best friend of Jane, Ashley Slater, I will tell you that I've discovered that she is very best friend slutty.
Oh, my gosh.
She just hands out that title. Essentially, if you say hi to Jane, best friend immediately. Besties, hashtag best friends forever. I'm done with it. It's over, Jane.
Oh, my gosh. Can you be a best friend group, or is it only one?
You have one best friend. Okay. It's not a plural. You pick one and you stick with it through the thick and the thin. The problem with her is she bails when it gets bad, and so she just picks up more. So it's been bad for me, as you can tell.
I get it. I understand. Well, thank you very much.
I have a theory.
This was a great interview.
All right, there it is.
Here we go. This is
a
great
theory.
Interview.
Yeah, this is a great interview.
Thank you.
I have a theory. Diana's husband, Eagles fan.
Oh.
Eagles fans and Cowboys fans
gross.
Are gonna have some sort of rift between them. It can't exist. They can't exist like that.
You're right. I
think that's really
agree.
So. You can't just look at like what she actually said. Look at the big picture, right? We have to put our tinfoil hats on. We'll make sure. But I think that might be it.
Jane, is she very good at bringing lots of friends into the mix? Is that
Jane,
how she does it, though?
Jane is the ultimate connector.
Okay.
Jane, there are so many of us in this whole league that cover the league, that work at networks, different networks, and there is no better person than Jane to like bring us. Like, she makes you laugh every time. She's there for you whenever. She's just ride or die, and she means it. So she probably is the only person I know that could have multiple best friends and actually mean it.
One of the reasons I saw you walking around, I was like, oh, I love this because my co-host is Beautiful Mind Math Guy, and like
math.
We always ask
people
him
make
to split
fun
the
of me
bill.
For it.
Same.
Like he's
last
our human
year,
calculator.
Same.
So.
We went to a restaurant. There was 15 of us, and they said they don't split checks. And I was like, show me the check. Everyone put your initials by it. I got it.
Perfect.
Huh?
And
yeah.
He figured it all out. So I wanted y'all to have a numbers off for the Super Bowl.
Oh, great.
I'm going to lose this. I do not want to compete.
I was just
going to
let y'all ride with it.
So actually, I did kind of have a weird numbers question because everyone is talking about, you know, Chiefs stopping Saquon, their playoff defense, especially against a run, has been so good. How do you quantify or how do you judge the strength of the Eagles' offensive line? Because we were talking with Brian Baldinger, and that was one of the things he goes, hey, that's great. This Eagles' offensive line strength is at a different level. Like, how do you quantify that?
One easy way is the yards before contact allowed on your running back. So in the past, Saquon had been hit behind the line of scrimmage. Just think about it from a physics standpoint. If a bowling ball, Saquon Barkley, he's just so thick, gets going faster, it's much harder to stop him. Even if once he gets a full head of steam going, it's much harder to stop him than if you stop him at or behind the line of scrimmage. If he hasn't gotten more than three steps, way easier to bring him down. So when I'm looking at this and measuring the value of that O-line in the run game specifically, I'm curious about very good tackling defenses. How have they looked against better O-lines, right? It would be nice if we would have had like more recent data on the Chiefs defense versus like the Lions because they had a great O-line too, but you got to kind of take what you're given from that.
How difficult is that in terms of stopping Barkley when he also leads the league in yards after contact?
Well,
that feels like a daunting
but think about
task.
It think about it, if I'm running full speed, that contact is much less, it's not going to hurt me as much.
That's
right?
True.
It's not going to stop me as much.
That's true.
But if I'm not, so it kind of makes sense that if you're yards before contact, go hand in glove with yards after contact, because it's not like, and just the same thing with yards after the catch. If you're running in space, you're going to get more yards after the catch than if you have to possession and then start running, right? So
let me ask if this analogy would work for you. It's kind of like if you're ever stuck in traffic on the highway, you can't just divert to another lane. You got to get at least a little bit of a rolling start.
Yeah.
So then you have the opportunity
to
cut into that other
lane.
Okay.
Yep.
And then you got the guys like Sean Alexander, they're like, I'm trying to avoid contact by just brushing. Like, I'm just trying to get a brush on somebody.
Right.
This is something we've never been able to figure out. How do you quantify the value of defensive tackle and what, like, there's no real.
The Cowboys said zero.
Yeah, the Cowboys have not believed in it forever, and I'm trying to figure out how to get them to understand this.
Well,
Jalen Carter and Jordan Davis are pretty special dudes.
It's going to be a problem. Milton Williams is also really stepped up. Well, I think part of it is when you're watching like the evolution of where we get the pass rush from. Right? Like, it went outside, and then you had interior pass rush, like Aaron Donald was like, make it, whatever. And then it'll go back outside. Like, there's kind of this ebb and flow, and a lot of it has to do with supply and demand of players. Like, you don't believe in or want to pay a defensive tackle what the rate is, but you'd rather want to pay Micah Parsons, you can't pay everyone. So you kind of do have to pick your poison there. Plus, this draft is very good for defensive tackles. So you can't. This is a very strong defensive tackle class. So perhaps now they could take their strategy and adjust it a little bit because they'll be able to get a rookie contract for it.
Kevin, yep. One of the best defensive linemen in the draft is Mason Graham in Michigan. And you know how Cowboys fans feel about Michigan guys after Taco and Mozzie.
He could be the most amazing football player you've ever seen. If the Cowboys draft him, Cowboys fans will be so furious when
that goes down. Because of the helmet. That's it. Just because of the jersey.
That winged helmet. It gets you every time.
Yeah, it is a bizarre thing. So I'm trying to figure this out for myself. And we've talked about this all week. I see so many advantages for the Eagles in this game. I think they have the better roster. And yet, I just come back to the default position of, it feels dumb to pick against the Chiefs. Even if I'm like, this point. Does that make sense to you?
I feel exactly the same way. My math picked the Eagles to win. If you go unit by unit and say who has the advantage matchup, you're going to come out with more Eagles advantages than Chiefs advantages. And, you know, other than, I mean, quarterback, though, it's hard to quantify how much more Patrick means. And it's not to, I feel bad because I'm not throwing shade at Jalen Hurts. I just think Patrick.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So, you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Odyssey celebrates St. Patrick's Day, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Is probably the best we're going to see in our lifetime, whatever. Sure. So, you know, that's just a difference. Like,
that doesn't feel like a spicy opinion.
I know. I just feel bad because I feel like some people get like too hard. Eagles fans are not known for being really nice. So, like, you know, like they're maybe a little too hard. Anyways, they may go a little too hard.
They punched a horse after they won the Super Bowl.
That was a positive punch.
Yeah.
They were happy. Yay! Yeah, they were excited about that one.
Right. So, I mean, I don't know. I feel like you go unit by unit, you're going to pick the Eagles. But there, to me, it's like, how? What is the easiest path for the Eagles to win? And, like, if the Eagles are going to win, to me, the easiest path is Saquon clipping off 6, 5, 7, like, 6 yards per clip. Yeah. Not having an average of 6, but having one explosive run, then getting stopped at the line of scrimmage 6 times, right? I'm saying, just making that defense
four,
work.
4, 7, 5, 8, like pretty in
just
that
chunky,
variable range.
Just chunky, yeah. Chunky runs, and they don't even need to be the explosives. Like, you close your eyes, you think of the, you obviously think of the Rams game,
yes,
and those like really long touchdowns. It doesn't even need to be that. It just means chunk, chunk, chunk. That's, you know, death by a thousand paper cuts. That's how they would, my forecast for the biggest way, easiest way that they would win. But on the other side, you can't count Patrick Mahomes out. Like, you just feel like,
yeah,
there's always something there. And you know who else feels it too? His teammates. And I think that mental standpoint and that kind of psychology of that does change things. Like, if you believe, like, if you know Patrick Mahomes can make this crazy throw, it's,
yeah,
not like you're sitting there, you know, you're like, well, like, maybe he's going to do it or maybe not. Like, you're like, no, like, 9 times out of 10, he's going to make this.
We talked about this earlier. When they're trailing by 10 or more points in the Super Bowl, the Chiefs and Mahomes are 3-1. Like, that is a mind-boggling statistic. And you know everyone on the sideline, if you fall down 13, 14, or whatever, is going to be like, we can still win. Like,
yeah,
no problem. I do not feel that way if the Eagles fall behind. They're like, we're screwed.
Because they're not getting – Saquon struggles to get the ball in that situation now.
It obviously, whenever you give Steve Spagnuolo a little bit more obvious pass, run, whatever it is, Steve Spagnuolo has done it for so long, you have to give him credit for being able to dial up the right kind of blitz in the right situation and the right, you know, whatever coverage he wants to. Great. You know, we've seen them give up yards to tight ends. Okay, maybe Dallas Goedert has the opportunity to get some yards if they're really attacking Saquon, but they have a plan for that. They could surrender the yards, but not the like full touchdown or what would be a devastating blow.
Hey, so here's my football question. Who's your favorite football player of all time? Maybe your favorite
all
Detroit,
time?
Maybe your Detroit Lion favorite player.
Ooh. Well, Barry Sanders is the reason I became a football fan.
So Barry Sanders, what if like in year 4 of his career they would have just traded him for a really old guy and maybe just a draft pick, like we are dealing with Luka Doncic getting traded to the Lakers. And they would have traded him to, like, let's say the Bears or the Vikings or Packers just to really like rub it in.
I actually thought that was fake. I thought
we all did.
There wasn't a human being who didn't think it was real.
I saw that and I was like, wow, this is a good spoof account.
Yeah.
Like, they really, like, this spoof account, like, you know, like the Adam Schefter,
yeah,
and it'll be like Schefters, yeah, with an S or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm not over it.
Okay.
Who's your pick? I know you said
Eagles. I'm going to go with my math.
Okay.
My gut says Chiefs, but
yeah,
my math says Eagles. Ahead of the season, my math was Eagles over Chiefs. So that was before the season got even, like, one game got played. So I was just pretty happy. Like, rather, I can't bail on it now.
I'm with you.
You know, like,
my wife jokes with me. She's like, do you see in the movies? They're like, trust your heart, not your brain. I was like, that's so stupid.
I trust my math.
Yeah, trust my brain.
Trust
and my
the numbers.
Math, for sure. Thank you very much.
You guys
appreciate
are awesome.
It.
Thank
yeah.
you.
I think you did a good job following up Billie Jean King.
Hey,
listen, someone had to do it. I'm glad it was me.
Jane told us the other day. She said, "Hey, she gets on air, she's gonna blow everybody's minds."
I'm glad we
two legends
yeah.
back to back.
Yeah, look at
yeah.
that. Legendary.
She hedged
yeah.
her bets though, and she said she's no Russini, but she's
no.
solid.
And now Gold
yeah.
Jr. has to follow you.
Okay.
Luck to him.
Oh, man, he's in big trouble.
Up next. Go Joe and Golic, co-host from the DraftKings Network. It's Mike Golic Jr. next right here on 105.3 The Fan. We bring to you Go Joe and Golic, co-host from the DraftKings Network. It is Mike Golic Jr. Good afternoon, sir.
Good afternoon. Good being here with you guys. How you guys doing?
Oh.
Surviving?
Doing well. This is, I want you to rank, though. Now we are on our third consecutive guest.
All right.
Billie Jean King.
Wow.
Cynthia Freeland and yourself. Give us a ranking.
All right. Well, I mean, listen, all respect to the GOAT. Billie Jean King has got to be number one on
okay.
that list. I think that's an easy one there. Cynthia, listen, got the numbers dialed down. She's been crushing it for a long time in NFL Net. Infinitely smarter than me, and so I got to give her number two. So I'll take myself at a comfortable third, and I feel like being on the podium here, it's one of the – what's the line? It's an honor just to be nominated.
Yes.
I'll
mm-hmm.
take that.
Yeah.
How often do you think people mean that?
Very, very infrequently.
Yeah.
But like in this situation, I feel like he's being honest and humble.
Yeah, 100%. This one's easy, too, but like when it's like an award show like that, and like especially, God forbid you're one of those people like at NFL Honors last night that thinks like you're Lamar Jackson. You think you got a real shot to win this thing. Everyone's telling you you're going to win it. You're acting happy for Josh, but you got to be kind of pissed.
So the most unbelievable version of this was at the Academy Awards several years back. Sylvester Stallone was up for Best Supporting Actor for Creed.
Oh,
he
yeah.
He thought they said his name, and he got up for a second and reached into his jacket pocket and then had to sit back down, and I was like, bro.
Oh.
Like, I thought he was going to win, too, but, like, you got to make sure they say your name. I don't even remember.
Did it sound like Sylvester Stallone?
I think it did. No, it was like A. Aronson or something. Yeah.
He was just so convinced it was going to be him that he had that foot up no matter what.
Okay, walk me through, if you have a strong opinion about this, the disconnect between, like, what some people in the sports media say versus the betting odds. Because the betting odds had it down as a stone-cold lock, almost, that Josh Allen was going to win the MVP.
Sure.
And then, but all the people in the sports media is like, feels like it's Lamar Jackson's to lose, feels like it's Lamar's to lose. And I understand the AP, first team, and all that stuff, but there was such a disconnect that we had, like, multiple conversations with people who are like, yesterday, Lamar's going to win. I was like, he's not going to win. And he didn't. What do you think leads to that disconnect?
Well, I think a lot of it is just from the media side, it's more people's opinion working their way into this than the people on the betting side dealing with legitimately, like, maybe what they're hearing about votes they're polling and things like that. Because on the media sentiment side, I can understand. I was one of the people that thought Lamar Jackson should win MVP based on what we saw this year. And so I think a lot of times that seeps into the analysis of it, where you present it as a certainty because you feel that way so strongly, even if it may not be representative of, you know, what the actual situation turned out to be, which, listen, was a close vote. It wasn't pulling for either of those guys was something that was going to steer you wrong. It was, what, like a difference of 20-some-odd votes?
Yeah, 27-23.
Yeah, so it wasn't a massive delta between the two, but it's still, I do think that opinion seeping in is a huge part of that.
So I've heard some people say voter fatigue. I disagree with that so much. Here's my contention. If the Ravens would have won the Super Bowl last year, Lamar Jackson wins MVP last night. I think he lost it because people are like, he's the only two-time MVP that's not even been in the Super Bowl, let alone won a Super Bowl. We can't put three times on him. And I think that's why some people voted Josh Allen instead.
Well, I mean, that is voter fatigue in its own right then. Like, that is, you know, when you think about it, it's the Nikola Jokic factor, right? It is. We, at a certain point, when your level of individual accomplishment exceeds a certain level, and now all of a sudden you're scraping all-time territory with your age and accomplishment, we do prorate postseason success, right, wrong, or indifferent, for stars in the NBA and for quarterbacks in the NFL. Even if I don't think quarterback wins are a real thing, you have the most influence on the team, and so that's going to be tied to you. And at a certain point, you're allowed to expect it. When the Ravens been as good as they have been for as long as they have been, and he's driving the bus, subconsciously, I can understand that seeping in. Do I think that's how it should be if we're drawing this up perfectly?
Yeah,
no, it's supposed to be a regular season award. It's supposed to be year to year, but we are human beings, and so I do believe there's some version of that, and there's also an acknowledgement for Josh, who is a deserving winner of this, is that team made the shift that we've seen the Kansas City Chiefs make at times, that, you know, depending on what happens with T. Higgins, Joe Burrow's going to have to make coming up, where they said, hey, you're enough to where we're going to have to let some of this also this fade into the periphery. Stephon Diggs is probably going to go. Obviously wasn't in his prime anymore anyway. We're going to really build this around you, and you're going to be able to offset whatever other losses we have positionally. And Josh did that at an incredibly high level.
I think, did you post the Jokic, Embiid, Jokic thing over? Was that you this morning? Okay, there it was, Kevin.
Do you think that was somebody at ESPN who said, I think you should vote upon these specific guidelines about which race somebody is, and that's what skewed the race?
Are you, what?
Dude, you know that's what happened.
Oh, my
God. Oh, my God. I cannot claim to have any knowledge of that, but listen, we're in an era where certain conspiracy theories are always going to be able to take root, but I think this one was pretty cut and dry, man. Josh had a great season. Lamar had a great the one question I was asking Dad this morning was, you know, the only sport that I know that factors postseason success into their award in, like, North American sports is college lacrosse. Like, I'm a huge Notre Dame lacrosse fan.
Okay.
And the Tuaratun is their version of the Heisman in college lacrosse, and they hand it out after the NCAA tournament because their thought process is the best guys are probably going to make the tournament, and why wouldn't you factor that in? Every other sport, think about every year how often we had NBA MVPs that all of a sudden went and bleeped the bed in the first round of the playoffs.
Yes.
And we're
talking about Dirk?
Yeah, he is talking about Dirk.
What are you doing here? Look, we just lost Luka, and now you're going to do it on
the hard time.
That's right. I was going to say, how are you guys doing, by the way?
Not great. Like,
not well at
all.
Dude,
I think Nico's getting – Nico's
smart. We should all drink more.
Allie LaForce last night for the Boston Celtic game had to say, hey, the team's coming home after a long road trip, and they're scared for their lives. That's how Dallas is taking it. Like, you destroyed a franchise.
And Nico's gotten death threats, which we all agree is, like,
wrong.
Yeah.
Wrong, 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 wrong. But that just gives you some insight into how people
are
feeling.
People have called and canceled their season tickets.
I get it, man, and that's the part of this that's so baffling is Nico Harrison signed up to expedite his own clock as a GM. Like, you got the get-out-of-jail-free card. You got Luka Doncic on the roster. You can point to that as, hey, we've got this foundation of a franchise player to point to for the next decade as we make moves. Now he said, when he said we can win now and later, but later's 3 to 4 years, like, dog, we have a different understanding of later.
Yeah.
The can Ashton Jeanty save the Cowboys?
Boy, that poor young man.
I'm saying.
I tell you what, he was God's strongest. The Boise State roster around him, O-line was very good, quarterback defense all strong, but he carried the load on that broken tackle machine. I think Dallas's offensive line still needs some, you know, especially depending on Zach. Zach's back and healthy and playing like prime Zach Martin to go along with some of the young guys that stepped up with them that are going to have another year under their belt and feel better about things. Like, he could certainly help. Like, Ashton is the kind of running back that can make lines better because there's a difference. You know, we're seeing right now in this day and age, the running back conversation is going to be real interesting this offseason about how people handle the success of Saquon Barkley and Derrick Henry, because it's not just running backs are back and anyone can do this. It's like, no, the takeaway is environment matters.
Exactly.
And that you can have a Hall of Fame caliber talent like Saquon Barkley that's stuck in an adverse situation, and that rose is not going to bloom through concrete. But you go to a place like Philadelphia that has a bunch of hosses up front, and now all of a sudden it's a different story. So I still think you need your house in order, and I'm not sure Dallas's house is in order enough yet to fully maximize that. Like, I have to give them their due. They are usually good at finding and developing O-line talent. They've earned that respect throughout their history. But that is a group that's not right in the place where it would look like Philadelphia, Baltimore, you know, Josh Jacobs in Green Bay even, I think, right away next year.
All right, so let's say I'm having you and your family over for the Super Bowl, and I'm making burgers.
Ooh.
What do I need to have at my house to make sure I make you the perfect burger?
I would say, you know, cheese, bacon would be ideal.
Just like regular cheddar cheese?
Regular cheddar cheese, I mean, you can be yellow stuff, white stuff, don't really care, you know, Kojak, all of it works. I'm not really picky there. I'm a garbage disposal. I was fat for a living for a while. But I would say those. I would say bacon for sure. Ketchup, mustard. If you got like Thousand Island dressing or something too, sometimes it's fun to mix in. Wow. But really, I don't require a lot. I would say the base of it would just be cheese, ketchup, and mustard, and maybe throw a little bacon on there. Some lettuce for texture. I don't really like lettuce, but it feels aesthetically pleasing.
See, that was my burger bar, Mike, and you're throwing it. He would be perfect at my burger bar party.
What's the dispute here?
That you should have more for more people.
Oh, you're
that
saying,
like. Well, no, I asked you that specific question, but when I asked him a burger bar, he just like was like, yeah, cheese and meat and ketchup. And I'm like, what about other people? Like, it's a burger bar. You ever been to Fuddruckers?
Oh,
yeah, like they have a burger bar.
I've been to Fuddruckers. I have annihilated Fuddruckers in the Detroit airport. It's like right by the gate that goes usually when the connection was going to South Bend, and that Fuddruckers, I used to wear that thing out. They're good fries there, too.
Yeah.
But no,
Do you think it'll have a different name in 500 years?
I think so.
Okay.
I think we're going to be dealing with a lot of different things in 500 years. Hopefully the airport.
We're not going to be dealing with any of
that. That's true.
We could by then. I keep seeing the thing on like Instagram that says the pill to make your dog live forever is coming soon, and I'm like, please.
Did you say your dog?
Your dog.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Like, forget us. I'm cool dying at some point.
Yeah.
But I'd like to keep my dog around a lot longer. My dog didn't do anything wrong. My dog's awesome.
True.
So
you want dogs to live as long as humans?
Yeah, I think that'd be dope. You just meet your dog when you're a little kid and you guys go through life together.
Oh, and you get to keep it forever?
Oh, that would be incredible. Cool. Like, the fact that, like, we have to watch them go before us, no, that's messed up. Dogs should get to live a lot longer. They've done a lot more for all of us than we'll ever do for them. I mean, the shelter and food thing's pretty cool, but, you know, outside of that, like, them having to deal with, like, the burden of our emotional health, that's a tall ask for those guys.
Oh, my God, that's so true. Now, our video coordinator here...
Been waiting for this.
Is this accurate? These are your favorite candy?
These are my favorite M&M varietals. So peanut butter M&Ms to me are the top tier of the brand.
Okay.
Peanut butter, right?
Peanut butter, yeah. The peanut M&Ms right below that.
Okay.
Because as I've oft said, my favorite descriptor for food is it's got ass to it. Like, this is a little meal right here. This is like when people go to space and they have the freeze-dried stuff. Yeah. Like, you eat this. You're going to walk away going, all right, I don't have to eat for a little while.
How many miles of candy then until you get to the regular M&Ms? Because
I'm with you.
What are those for now?
You know what? I think the regular M&Ms are really good as like a shooter around Halloween, because you know the Halloween bag's like that big.
Yeah.
So if you're walking around on Halloween night and like I'm in the business,
that's your base.
Well, I'm handing out candy at the front door now a lot more often. Like my friends have kids, and so I like to go and do that. And I hand out the candy at the door, and I get a little buzz. But I'm sitting there and I'm reaching in the bag. I'll pull one of those out and you just hit the whole handful at once. It's like, remember the M&M's minis that came in the tube?
Yeah. Yes.
And you could just rifle all those at once. In total, it's like the way the Rams replaced Aaron Donald in the aggregate this year.
Yeah, yeah.
You are creating the M&M in the aggregate with all of those
by
that
committee.
Makes the experience better. it's an M&M by committee.
The M&M, though, is very good for M&M cookies.
Oh,
right. And that's weird.
That's true.
The M&M cookie, which is the regular M&M, top notch. Just M&Ms by themselves.
Yeah.
What are we doing?
You're right, because you know what? It's an accent, but it's not a star. It's
Agreed.
A garnish, but it's not a main course.
Do you have such a thing as a favorite candy, or do you like this category is my favorite candy, this category is my favorite? Like, how do you break that down?
I think I usually take them into like their verticals, like, you know, candy bars, candy like this. You've got the like fruity or like savory, like the tart candy kind of thing. So I like to put them in their own range, and then obviously certain desserts in a different category. Picking just one overall is just way too difficult. There's too many good sugars.
I think there's a good way to do it, though.
What's that?
Candy combine. We need to have a candy combine and really load this thing up.
Yeah, that's probably the right way to do this. Like we've been dancing around the issue for long enough. It's time to. I don't know, this is sports. We're here to crown champions, not just give everyone a participation trophy. We
Chocolates,
need to do that with candy.
Hard candies, soft
candies. Each one of them gets a day.
Like Sour Patch Kids.
I would say non-chocolate candies might be their own category.
That's
right?
The toughest part is if you're building out a bracket for this, is how you stratify all that.
Mike and Ike's.
And where do Twizzlers go?
Yeah, exactly. No, love a good Twizzler.
I don't like Twizzler at all.
Oh, do you really? Like use it as a straw for your Coke or something?
Yeah. I don't know. It tastes too waxy to me.
Would you have a candy like that that you're like, I'm out on this candy for sure?
A bit of honey.
Man.
Oh, sorry, man. That's always a
bit
of honey.
Is it Payday that's got coconut in it? Which one has coconut
Almond
in it?
Almond Joy.
I'm not a huge Almond Joy guy. Like, in general, almonds just okay for me.
Okay.
And in candy, it's a little bit too abrasive of a nut. Like, you go peanut. If there was a candy bar that had cashews in it, I rock with cashews heavily.
Cashews, they're the best.
There's a good soft nut with a lot of flavor, but peanut, it's the perfect nut for a candy bar. Almond, to me, it's too abrasive. It's too grating.
Yeah, it's a little bit of work to chew through that thing.
It is, although I've seen, is it Snickers that did a Snickers, I don't know if you guys are pecan or pecan people, but they do a Snickers pecan now that I missed out on.
I just saw that commercial yesterday.
I've heard great things. I was stuck in the Atlanta airport overnight after Notre Dame lost in the national title, and someone tried to send me on a message. Yeah, listen, we've all suffered a loss recently.
I mean, you're talking to Dallas. We get it.
We lost Luca.
I get it, yeah.
We won the World Series.
I know we can talk sports all day, but I've also been following your Twitter, and Greater Skyline Chili ice cream sounds like the worst.
Oh, yeah.
Wow, did he zag when everyone else thought he was going to zing at the end of that?
It sounds like, when I saw it, I was like, there's no way, because when Cincinnati went to the Super Bowl. One of our listeners was a big-time Bengals fan. He brought us some Skyline Chili, and I was like, all right, I'm doing it. I'm making the pasta. I'm going to try and do this at home. And I was like, that is not what I expected, the current flavor and all that stuff.
Oh, yeah.
How did they make it good ice cream?
So cinnamon is one of the primary spices in Skyline Chili. I don't know if everyone outside of the Cincinnati, Northern Kentucky area knows that, but cinnamon is a strong part of that flavor profile. So they leaned into that. The way I've described it is, in terms of making it a Skyline Chili collab, the oyster crackers in there do a lot of the heavy lifting. It's really like Cinnamon Toast Crunch Milk in ice cream form.
Okay.
Ooh,
so they leaned into that side of it. It is delicious. I'm not kidding you. They sent me, the Graders people are phenomenal. Ohana Means Family. They are my Ohana. They sent me like 6 pints. 3 of them were those. I nuked those 3 in like 2 days.
Worse than the Fuddruckers?
Yeah, worse than the Fuddruckers. Okay. These stood no chance. It was all I could think about while I was in the house. I might be an addict.
Okay.
Dude, I'm telling you, I was watching Twitter, and it was like every 10 minutes, he was like, it's just getting better. You know, it was like...
every bite, I'm like, oh, yeah, it's really settling into itself. So if you're out there, I understand the shock value. That's what they were going for. Sex sells.
You described it like a TV series. You're like, man, by the second pint, they really got their feet under them.
I know. It's like when people talk about Breaking Bad. It's like, just make it to season two and it's going to be great.
Yeah.
Like, they're hour-plus episodes each. It's a tall order.
That pilot episode, you know? Nobody really knew what to expect there.
No, exactly. You like the Fly episode.
I did love the Fly episode. I really did. Nobody else did.
It's a good one. No series ever finished as strong.
I guess our point to all of this is, who are you picking in the Super Bowl?
Yeah.
I'm sure is what that led all up to.
No, God bless the broken, delicious road that led us to this question. I'm picking Kansas City. Coming off conference championship weekend, that last bit of information we were going to get to take in before 2 weeks where we overcook the hell out of this, I told myself, all right, based on what I have seen, especially from the Chiefs, really the last 4 to 5 games when they and I say all along, they get to operate like a veteran NBA team where the regular season only matters so much in a sport where, hey, football, the games are more precious and more scarce, each one more valuable when it comes to making the playoffs. The Chiefs' bedrock of success, especially in a world where they don't need to win at home anymore, like they prove they can go on the road and do it, I'm like, they can afford to tinker during the season. That's why they didn't feed Travis early on until the injuries mounted up, and that's why they move guys around and try a bunch of different things, even if it doesn't work in certain situations, so that when they get to this time of year, they know who they are. No team has a better understanding of their identity and is able to fit that to the situation better than Kansas City, and I feel like the last 4 or 5 games, I've just watched them every time come up with what they need in that moment. Joe Tooney and the move he made from guard to tackle.
Mm-hmm.
My favorite storyline in the Super Bowl. Like, you can't give that guy enough credit for going out and operating in that kind of space in these kind of circumstances against some of the defenses he's seen. Miles Garrett, the edge duo from Houston, all this stuff. So I think they are too good at managing situations and finding ways to win. So I went Kansas City. I think it's close. I think, like, you know, I Kansas City in the over, so I said like 27-25.
Okay.
As just like a marker of what I think. It's going to be close. This Philly roster's stacked, but Kansas City just knows what they're doing.
Man, I like that. You played it close to the over-under and right on the edge of the point spread.
Listen, I work for a gambling company right now. No big deal, kind of a big deal.
That's very, very savvy right there.
Print out every day then? Like, you have
we get the emails every day. It's like, hey, here's where, you know, some of the betting totals are going. I check it every once in a while. Yeah. You know, really just go in. More of a vibes guy. Mm-hmm. But
hey guys, here's what I'm feeling for today's show.
These are the gut bets. I like Mike's gut.
Well, thank you very much for joining us, man. That was awesome.
Thank you guys.
I'm gonna warn you, this is a weird transition because we don't actually go to break here.
Hell yeah.
We just keep talking.
Oh, I just did that in a live stream down there for hours. It's trying to get Jameis Winston offset in that pink cardigan and explain that on the fly. Not great. So I can just get up and spike the headset.
Yeah,
make it easier.
You
on
should.
Guys here.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Spike it. Hold too. On. Let me. There you go. Now you can go ahead and spike it. Thank you very much, good sir. Really appreciate it. All right, let's transition into some Mike likes it. I know.
Okay.
We took up some
Thank
time,
you very much.
But that was outstanding. Oh, man. He just
that's
blew right, right past you, Mike.
No, that's okay. Hurt. Thanks.
That was hurtful.
Thanks. There it is. Yeah. We did it. We really screwed everything up.
That was the greatest thing I've seen on radio row. what happened was Mike Bassick put his fist up.
Yeah, and then handshake. It
walked
just was
right past him. Yeah. And then we made a big production of it.
Just like when Luca did the high five thing and it was like,
then he left to L.A.
So, I don't know what the lesson is to be gleaned from any of this. All right, Mike, what do you want to talk about?
So my agent sent me this, and I know this is weird, but I just find this amazing because Nolan Ryan never won a Cy Young.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah,
and I know this is weird to talk about, but MVP
Derek
just
Jeter
happened.
Never won MVP.
Right?
Yeah, there's
Nolan Ryan had 198 career starts where he had a quality start and didn't receive a win in that game. His ERA in those 198 quality starts that he didn't receive a win, he had a 2.27 ERA in those games. Didn't get a win. 0-107 in those games.
You see it when he had
what?
A 2?
That's how bad the Angels were.
Oh,
for the now, I know that some of them happened. Probably a few of them happened when he was on the Astros. They were a pretty good team when he was there, and maybe a few when he was with the Rangers. But you want to talk about somebody who played on such a bad team and still got to 300-plus wins? 198 starts where he had a quality start, and he was 0-107 in those with a 2.27 ERA.
I'm always kind of Did he went to the Angels. Was the money the thing for him? Was he?
Well, he was with the he was not. This is gonna sound weird. He wasn't very good on the Mets.
Right.
He was an up-and-coming dude who threw 102, 103, but it was like he couldn't control his fastball. His breaking ball was inconsistent. And then when he got to the Angels, if you ever watched that, the Nolan thing, like, right, it started all clicking. Unfortunately, he was on the worst team in baseball.
They did not care about their team.
Yeah. So it was just like it's like one of those weird things that, like, it has nothing to do with the Super Bowl or anything, but I was just like, what a crazy stat that somebody would lose 107 games in those 198 games, and his ERA would be a low 2 ERA.
How frustrated do you think he was, Kevin? Like,
oh, my gosh.
Or do you think he was just like, whatever, I did my job today?
We've talked about this before. There are moments where a player should just be able to walk into the clubhouse or the locker room and be like, no, I don't want to hear it. Like, whatever you have to say, I don't want to hear it right now.
You just wonder this. If he would have been on an average team instead of the Angels, and that would have got him in those 198 starts, 50 wins. I don't know what that is.
It got deleted. It was supposed to say wings.
Do you want wings or not?
Don't give him wings.
No, I had diarrhea.
Okay.
Oh, my gosh.
And Kevin wants me to get diarrhea.
No. I mean, I guess that did happen earlier in the show.
So, anyways, when was the last time you had diarrhea?
I was sick not that long ago, Mike.
Oh, but that was with your throat.
Yeah, there's other stuff that led up to that.
I was sick, during the holidays. That was
what's happening. Was you text us that. Yeah.
Did you ever have a start, or do you remember a start where you walked into the clubhouse and you're like, I don't want to hear nothing from nobody?
No, not really, because I was pretty crappy those other ones. Jeez. And so I was like, I really don't want to, like, I can't really take shots at these guys if they're like, hey, way to give up four in the first inning, Nimrod. Like, that was awesome. Glad that we had to score. We knew we had to score at least four to tie this sucker up after 5 minutes in this game.
Okay.
So, no, I do think this. I had heard of guys like Cal Ripken Jr. was definitely like a guy who might say something. But, you know, I think when you can back it up with, like, all right, like, he's that good. He's the guy of his team, and he's the guy in the American League. I think you have to be careful when you start calling out teammates or your other side of the ball, right? If you're talking football here, if you're an offensive player and you guys are averaging 31, but you guys are a 500 team, like, you do have to be careful, because you never know when all of a sudden your defense is going to show up. They only allow, 17 points, and you guys only score 13 that game.
Yeah, no, I got you. That absolutely makes sense. We're the KNC Masterpiece here on 105.3 The Fan.
Watch out now.
Coming up
next.
It's
bounty wing time.
It's time for the C-Block, starring Corey Majors.
Hey, I want to have a deep conversation about players and culture. Let's do that next on The Fan.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games, or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Think warm. Think palm trees. Think baseball. Hi, I'm MLB.com's Matt Monaghan. The long, dark freeze is over, and spring training is finally here. If you're a baseball fan looking for a quick, easy way to get all the scores, top stories, and best sound bites from Florida and Arizona, you're in luck.
I don't think people realize how good we are. I don't even know if we realize how good.
The Morning Lineup Podcast, a short, less than 10-minute baseball highlight show, is available anywhere on any platform you listen to podcasts on, 5 days a week. We can't wait to meet you there.